Hi everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Jill, and it's great to be sharing this Sunday online service with you. My theme today is the theme of remembering. Can I ask you a question? How are you going to remember the lockdown? Just take a minute right now and see what comes to mind as you remember back to the lockdown that we've just recently come through. What comes to your mind as you remember the lockdown? I wonder how many of these things were on your list. Empty toilet roll shelves, queues for the supermarket, carless roads, planeless skies, working from home, schooling from home, Zoom meetings, multiple Amazon deliveries, other providers are available, home baking sessions and the resulting COVID stone. Or maybe some of your memories are more sad, more difficult, more serious even. Things that have affected you personally, your family, or those very close to you. Some of the memories are shared memories, and some of them will be intensely personal. Some positive and some not so. But how would you answer if I asked you this question? How are you going to remember the lockdown? No, you're not stuck in Groundhog Day, and I don't think I have amnesia. I use the same words, but I didn't ask you the same question. When I say, how are you going to remember the lockdown? Really what I mean is, in what way are you going to remember it? What perspective are you going to choose as you come to remember it? And how are you going to remember to remember it? And your question to me might be, Jill, what's with all these questions and why does it matter anyway? And that's fair enough. But I've been thinking about it a fair bit since I've read through the story of Joshua and that part in the story in the Bible where the people of God have a new leader, Joshua, and the time has come for them to transition across from the old previous land, what we call the wilderness, which was not a great place at all, through the River Jordan, that's the transition, and on into the land that God had promised to his people. A good land, a hope-filled land. And I was reading through that, and a number of things struck me about it in terms of how to remember things and how to remember things well. So we're at that point in the story where the people had now got to the river, and it was in flood state when they came to it. And for me, my personal experience of river, anywhere near me, is the River Misborn. That's our local river. It's actually more of a chalk stream. It's quite modest. It does flood from time to time, but the fallout of that would normally be a few waterlogged fields that you could probably tackle in your wellies or maybe waders. But the River Jordan in flood state, that was a serious river. That would have been over a mile wide. It would have been anywhere from 3 feet to 40 feet deep, very fast flowing currents. And there would have been hidden submerged areas of briars and thickets and tangled undergrowth, which the people wouldn't be able to see. So when they came to that river, it was a case of, nah, that ain't gonna happen. But Joshua had this instruction from the Lord. No, it's time to do it. It's time to cross. And he gave a specific instruction that they were to carry the Ark of the Covenant into the middle of the river. The priests were to go ahead and take it up front, about a mile ahead of the people before they came across. This ark obviously is nothing to do with Noah and his big boat and the animals. That's a whole other water story. No, this ark was a very specifically designed and created box, in effect, but it was very specifically made. It held significant objects in it. Wish I had time to go into the significance of those objects, but I don't. And above everything, it was where the presence of God himself rested. It carried the presence of God. It's, I don't know, get your head around that. But it was to signal God's very presence is going with you. So they were to carry this, the priest, into the middle of the river, and then God did an amazing thing and stopped the flow of the river, and the people were able to pass through on dry ground. Phew. And all of them did it. The whole company of people managed to get through. And then it gets to a point in the story which is quite intriguing. Can I just read it to you? It's from Joshua chapter 4 and begins at verse 1. This is what it says. Now, when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.'" So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the tribes of the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off.' So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever." Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. And they are there to this day. And what struck me as I read through that part of the story, it seemed like there was a spotlight kind of beaming down on three very important factors. And the first one is the ark, the ark itself. This was obviously very important. It's mentioned multiple times in the story. And we know that this is representative of the very presence of God himself being with the people. And this is indicative of God saying to them, "I'm going to go ahead of you and I'm going to wade in first." This wasn't some kind of ego thing with God saying, "I'm the VIP here, I'm going to get into the promised land first before anyone else." It wasn't that. This was God saying, "I'm going to go ahead of you into what looks very scary, unknown, uncertain, and even dangerous. I'm wading in first, and I'm going to make a safe way for you to come through. I'm going to do it for you to provide a way. And I want you to know that my presence is with you. Always." God getting his feet wet and his hands dirty, going into the middle of it before the people come through. Does that sound like someone else to you? Joshua leading the people with God in front. Someone coming from heaven, getting his feet wet and his hands dirty to provide a way through for us, even through death, so that we could come and fully inhabit his promises with his presence always with us, ongoingly forever. It sounds a lot like Jesus to me. In fact, Joshua and Jesus even share the same name. It is the same name, just pronounced differently. So the ark is a really big deal in this story. God going ahead and being with his people always. And then I felt like the spotlight's on the way that God did it. The way he cut off, he talks about cutting off the waters of the Jordan several times in that same story. God wants them to know that this was really important. And the third thing that stands out was this whole thing about remembering. The importance of rightfully remembering their experience. God seems to have quite a bit to say about this. In fact, God is so interested in how the people remember their experience going forward that he gives them a helping hand. He gives them some specific instructions about how to remember. So I'm just going to talk about that for a few minutes. And the first how he gives them is very practical. They have this instruction about going into the river, the 12 people, one from each tribe, going into the river and collecting up a stone each, carrying it on their shoulder, taking it back, and then piling it up into a memorial. So there's a practical how that he gives to the people. And he tells them to go right into the very center of the river where the ark is. In other words, I want you to go back to the very place where this experience happened so that you will never forget where you were on that day, but also where God was in relation to you, that he was with you always, every step of the way, right through into the other side. So it was a practical how. Get the stones, create them into a memorial where you're going to lodge. He also gave them a wider perspective how, a different way of viewing the event. He mentions the cutting off of the Jordan several times over, and that it was God who cut off the waters. He wants them to remember something that to us might seem glaringly obvious in this story. I mean, how are they going to forget that God dried up the waters so that they could pass through on dry ground, right? How is anyone ever going to forget that? But God knows how we are. He knows that we can get so caught up in just the detail of the event and the stuff that's in front of us that we can forget the bigger picture that's actually going on. Just imagine a chat between a few of the folk that passed through the Jordan that day. Imagine they were together after the event reminiscing. You know, and imagine, couldn't you just imagine them going through the details of the story? Oh yeah, the priest told us that, and then they went on, and then, oh, one of the leaders said that, and then we had to go there, and oh, the water was cold that day, was it? Wasn't it? I thought it was really warm. Oh, and the sun was shining. Oh no, that was a cloudy day. I remember it clear as anything. Oh, and remember that stinky sheep that trod on your toe, and poor old Joe, we had to give him a piggyback because he wasn't feeling too well that day. And you can just imagine reminiscing about the details of the events. It's what we all do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those things actually happen. But God wants us to step back. He wanted the people to be able to step back and see a bigger thing that he was doing, a bigger picture that was taking place. Because the river actually wasn't cut off right where the people were standing. Looking in the story more widely, it actually tells us that the river flow was cut off 20 miles away from where the people were in one direction, and about another 20 miles in the opposite direction. So the people would need to step back to realize that that's what God had done. They'd need to have a bigger perspective. So they would remember to include God and remember that, oh, God did that. That was amazing. That was strange, unprecedented, impossible. He wants them to know that God had done it. He had caused the water to dry up. And he knows too that we're very good at making things about us. You know, he knew that the people could adopt the mindset that yeah, we came to the river and, you know, we, God helped us, but somehow we managed to cross over. And it becomes about the priests did that and the leaders did that. And, you know, for us, it might be, well, the government made this possible and the scientists came up with this solution. So he knows that we have a propensity to turn things into all about us. And we also have a way of talking about things as if they've just happened, you know, almost like they are random events, like the parting of the waters, the drying up of the riverbed, could just be seen by the people as something that just happened that day. You know, that if we're not careful, we get so caught up in the detail and what we've done that we can airbrush God out of the story completely. It's possible, isn't it? And God's not having it. He wants them to remember, I did that, and I did it for you. I did it so that you could pass through safely. I did the strange, the unprecedented, the impossible for you. You couldn't possibly pull this off for yourselves. I did it. And God wants them to remember this because they're going to need to know this in future days, because even though they're passing into the land that God had promised them, a good land, a hope-filled land, things are going to be tough. There's going to be tough transitions to get through. And he knows that they're going to need to remember him as that God who dried up the waters of the river, as that God who brought them through into the land of promise. It's not going to be a land of unicorns, rainbows, and fluffy kittens. It's not going to be any of those things, except maybe rainbows. I don't know. But they're going to need to know him as the God that they knew who did that on that day. And you know what? He knows our memories are shockingly short. And God also gave them an even bigger picture, how to remember. Because he's telling them, this isn't just about you. This isn't just about your generation, your family, your community, your tribes. This is actually a much bigger thing that you're part of here, a much bigger story of what God is doing in the nations, in the earth, and for future generations to come. And so he's encouraging them, build this memorial, tell the future generations. When he talks about children, he doesn't just mean direct nuclear family, personal children. Children refers to the future generation, the one coming up and the one that's coming afterwards and the successive generations. Tell them. Remember to tell them so that when they ask, what are these stones? You'll know how to tell them about the God who did that, the kind of God that he is, how he managed it, what he did do for them, so that they will know that they can trust that same God in the challenges they have up ahead, that they can look to that God and they can partner with that God for what's up ahead in their future days. The God who was able to make a way through the seemingly impossible and impassable. So, reflecting on all of this, I've kind of wanted to bring it back to, well, how am I going to remember? How am I going to remember lockdown well? And I thought of myself and what practically could I do to make sure I do remember it. And I've got this stone here. Don't know if you can see it. It's a piece of flint. It's a stone that I found in the fields quite near to where I live. It's quite misshapen, strangely shaped. It's actually not very attractive. It's uncomfortable looking, really. Odd. Awkward. And for me, this symbolizes lockdown, what lockdown was like. It was unusual. It was a different shape. It was uncomfortable at times. It was difficult. But underneath at the very bottom, I don't know if you can see, there are some beautiful hints of the flint stone inside, beautiful soft grays and blues. And they're hidden though. And this stone just made me realize that we can look for and be expectant for unexpected beauty in times of strangeness, uncomfortableness, times that don't feel very good, times that don't feel normal, that God will hide things of beauty, things of glory, things of the unexpected, that will show us the kind of God that he is, a beautiful God, a powerful God, an unexpected God. So I've got my special strange stone. That's my particular practical how to remember. Then my bigger picture how. My perspective how, maybe. How am I going to choose to view the lockdown? Because I know I could so easily get caught up in the details of it. The masks and the supermarket queues and all of that. And none of that's wrong. Those things did happen. But how am I going to make sure I view the lockdown in a way that wasn't, oh, that just happened. First this, then that. The government did this, then the scientists did that. Then we unlocked. And how am I going to step back from the experience and begin to see where God was in that, what he was up to? Because there were so many things. When I step back and look at it, I see, even just in my own family, God got us through COVID. All of us in the household had the virus. It was nasty, but we got through. But there are so many other things that I see God was up to. Things in our road, just connections, the way different connections were being made, the strength of the community being deepened, just the outpouring of kindness that was taking place, the genuine desire in people to share and be kind and to be concerned and take care of the lonely or the vulnerable or the needy. Just the way family was brought together for an extended period of time, and that just doesn't happen normally anymore. Not for me, not for most families, I would imagine. And no, it wasn't always a bowl of cherries. It was hard at times, but that was so unusual for us all to be together, cook together, eat together, shop together. Well, we couldn't shop together, but decorate rooms together, exercise together. Unprecedented, unusual. It didn't just happen. God did that. And just the power of really seeing really simple things have a massive impact. Remember Captain Tom walking 100 times around his garden? Or that the way that random people in all over the place just recorded a little bit of one blessing song and it was put together. It was actually words from scripture that was turned into a song and put together, recorded and sent all around the globe. And how many thousands and millions, maybe billions of people were brought comfort and hope through that very simple song. So many things happen where I see the fingerprint of God and the commitment, the hard work of our leaders and our politicians, regardless of what we think of their policies. No, they didn't get everything right, but just the hard work that they put in, the way that God sustained them to do that, and even spared the life of our Prime Minister. And then that amazing weather that we had through the springtime. Just felt like a little corner of heaven had been dropped down onto earth for us. I could see that as a random event that just happened, but I choose to step back and see God at work. See what he was up to. And that it's got his fingerprints all over it, hasn't it? The way he just loves family and community and connection and poured out compassion and how he loves his earth. Don't you love how creation's just had a vacation? How it's had a chance to breathe fresh, clean air? How the birds have a chance to sing and we're not pumping pollution into the earth, not abusing it, trampling all over it. It's had a chance to breathe and multiply and just enjoy what it's meant for. It's been amazing. God's fingerprints all over it. And then there's the bigger, bigger picture still, stepping even wider back and seeing things and remembering that myself, my family, this lockdown, it's all part of a much, much bigger story of what God's been doing in the earth, what he's been doing in the nations, what he's been doing in the world during the pandemic. It's been astonishing. He's been changing how we see each other, how we view connection, how vital it is to have connection, how life-sapping and destructive it is when we don't have it. Or how we've been seeing the fragility of life, no matter who we are, no matter what position or title we hold, the precariousness of the economy, of jobs, of other things that are just day-to-day normal that we take for granted or put our trust in even. Those things are so fragile. The administrations of our world so quickly can change. And how the power of kindness can bring about such change to connect and help and make things beautiful. How am I going to pass on my remembering of the lockdown to the next generation? How might you do it? Our first grandbaby was born just at the very end of lockdown. Such a beautiful, precious little person. And I thought to myself, if I were to write him a letter and tell him, describe to him what happened during the pandemic, what it was like, or the experience of lockdown, would I tell him all the facts and the details about the queues and the masks and the empty roads and Zoom and all of that? Yes, of course, I would do that. But how would I make sure that I step back and I tell him a story from a bigger perspective? How would I want to communicate to him what happened inside people? How we all just slowed down for a while. We stopped rushing past each other. We actually noticed one another. We noticed things around us, our surroundings. We noticed nature. We had time. We slowed down. We spoke. We connected. I'd want to talk to him about how God gave the earth a holiday. I'd want to talk to him about how we just became aware of life being precious and fragile. I'd want to tell him about how I saw and heard a nightingale for the very first time, and its song was so pure and beautiful, it almost made me cry. Just a little note coming straight down from heaven. And it just made me think of how God had been there all the time, bringing beauty, getting us through it. If you're watching this or listening to this, God's also brought you through it. And you're safe through on the other side. And now it's time to transition into something new, and parts of it are unknown and uncertain, maybe a bit scary, maybe a bit dangerous. But there he is, our Joshua, our Jesus, going ahead of us, wading in, feet wet, hands dirty. He's gone ahead of us, even through the very valley of death, and brought us through to the other side. How will you remember lockdown? How will you remember it? Let's just pray and ask God to help us with remembering what he has done so that we can go forward, knowing that he'll be the one always with us, who's able to make a way through things that seem impossible and impossible. Let's just pray. Jesus, you are Yeshua. You are the one who saves. You're the one who delivers. You're the one who makes a way. You've even made a way through our worst enemy. You've even conquered death for us. you've crossed that Jordan on our behalf and made a way for us to follow you through. How much more can we expect you to help us with the things that are in front of us in this new territory that we're crossing into after the pandemic, after the lockdown? How much more can we look to you for places of power, unusual, strange, impossible things that you do to show us who you are and how much you care for us and how you are able to get us through anything? So I pray for everyone today watching or listening to this, however we're feeling as we go forward into the next bit of the story. Father, will you help us? Help us be good at remembering who you've already been to us and who you will be to us. Help us do it in a practical way. I've got a stone. Maybe there's something else that you'd want us to remember it by, and who you've been to us and what you've been doing in the wider world. And help us know how we might pass on to the future generations, to our children, what we've seen you do, who we've seen you be, so that they can know that there's a God like that that they can turn to. There's a God like that who'll be on their side and who can take them through the seemingly impossible and impassable. And so we thank you for the gift of remembering. Help us remember well, so that you, Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, you are the one who gets all the glory for our part in the story. Amen.